AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
All right, ready to roll on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solution with exceptional follow-through. You can also get your questions in on Twitter at ESPN 97.5. We are live from Live Houston this morning at Golf Club of Houston, and we've got Troy Tutt here with us in the first segment to give us the latest as far as Live Golf. Troy is the Senior Vice President of Ticketing and Hospitality for Live Golf, so we're very lucky to be getting a feel from him here at the eight-week mark of the Live Golf season. Charlie, you flew back from Wisconsin yesterday with a visit with the great Angel Cabrera. Great to have you back with us.
Well, it's exciting. It's like Christmas. I've lost my voice all of a sudden. But, Troy, this has really been quite an undertaking to get it off the ground, to get the concept. The money is one thing, but you've got a great idea. And part of it is a team effort. It's a team concept. It's a franchise, just like if it was the NFL, just like if it was the National Baseball League. Give me a little more of your success so far.
Sure, absolutely. First off, I appreciate you guys having me on, and Houston has been more than welcoming to Live Golf, so we're loving our time here. They've cranked up the heat for us, so we'll take that. But obviously, yeah, the team concept, this is brand new to professional golf. We have 13 teams. All 13 teams have a captain. That captain's not only the player, and the captain, but also the GM, and a part owner of their franchise. So, you have a Brooks Koepka who can play, trade one of his guys with a Bryson DeChambeau who can trade him with Dustin Johnson and so on and so forth. But the team concept, what it's done is you've taken an individual sport that's primarily individual sport. So we still have an aspect of that very much because the guys can still earn points and purses from individual performance. But it's the team side. They now have, every guy has three other guys that are looking on them to deliver, because if you have a bad day, that can impact it, especially within our format. We're 3 days, so we're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, we take the top three scores from that team, and that counts. But on Sunday, all four players' scores count. So you'll see drastic changes and swings in the leaderboard on the team side. And so you go up there and you throw a double bogey on a hole, that can really swing things real quickly.
Yeah. Well, one of the things about team golf, the colleges, the university golf, both men and women, have really gotten very popular, and it's feeding the PGA Tour. Is that also going to be one of the ways that you build your franchises, the kids that are coming out of college that will be involved, and they're NCAA tested with the match play format and stuff like that? So is that one of your goals too?
Yeah, that's a great point. Is all these guys played college golf. Yes. And they reference that. They say, hey, I grew up doing team golf my whole life.
Yeah.
Right, especially coming out of college, so they enjoy that aspect of it. So I think going from the college side to if it wasn't Live Golf and other professional golf and it's straight individual, I mean, the guys have honestly said that it's lonely out there. And it's not only lonely from a professional on the course and delivering, but just, you're traveling all over the place and it's just you and your caddy, and it can get lonely out there. So they have, I think Bryson mentioned it in his press conference the other day. He was in a tough spot. I believe it was Singapore last year, and he had his guys rally behind him, and it really helped pick him up. So I think, your question as far as, is that part of what we're trying to do? Absolutely. So we are supercharging the game for a global audience. And so what does supercharging the game mean? You know, one is we're trying to make this beautiful game that we all love for a long time, and we're just trying to put a little bit more juice into it, a little bit a different flair. We're not trying to replace any other professional golf that's out there. We're just trying to be additive. This is just a different flavor for those who may like this aspect of it, but you can see it from the guys. They love the team atmosphere.
But also the competition between the PGA Tour, the World Tours, and LIV Golf, it hasn't meshed yet.
Yeah, you know? There's ongoing conversations. I mean, it's gonna take time. And are we a disruptor? 100%. So when a disruptor comes in, you know, a lot of times they're not always, you know, welcome with open arms. And there's conversations that need to be had to figure out how we fit within the overall golf ecosystem. So we all know kind of the conversations that are out there at a much, much higher level. It'll all flush out. It'll all get figured out. I think everyone's now realizing LIV Golf is here to stay. We're not going anywhere. I can tell you with confidence we are not going anywhere. So it's just a matter of how does LIV Golf fit into the overall, because, you know, it's not just PGA Tour. There's a lot, you know, we're global, right? And I think it's very easy for us in the U.S. to get very fixated on us and the other professional golf here in North America or the U.S., but we're global, and so we got to fit in the overall global golf ecosystem.
Yeah, we've seen other, you know, disruptors in the business world. I'm sure that Amazon wasn't quite welcomed by UPS and FedEx, you know, so that's part of the business. You mentioned the global aspect of this tour. One of my favorite teams that have kind of has kind of come in the fold is Team Torque, with Joaquim Niemann and Mito Pereira, Carlos Ortiz, Sebastian Munoz. I love the way they talk about staying together every week in a house, you know, that they're all cooking for each other and staying under the same roof. I asked you this before the show, but how much of a connection do you see between the teams and some of the countries these guys are representing?
Yeah, it's a big piece of it. Some of it, I would say, is intentional. Some of it is organic. So Torque, to your point, you know, whether we're in Mayakoba to kick off the season in Mexico, or we're, you know, going to Spain here shortly in July, we certainly, there's an attraction by those, you know, that audience. You look at, you know, Ripper GC, which is headed up by Cam Smith, all Australian team. Rewind back to Adelaide, and we have our, you know, perfect storm. I wish I could say we scripted it this way, but you have Ripper GC, all Australian team, going against the South African team, the Stingers, in a playoff, which was our first team playoff we've had in our short history. So you have a lot of that that's, you know, certainly happening. Then, you know, you have a variety, I think, where we're still trying to get a flavor of, you know, some of our, you take a Four Aces or a High Flyers, which is a lot of, you know, consists of mostly Americans, and do we have a place that they call their home, right? Is there a state or a course or whatever it might be? And I think that's part of the puzzle pieces that we're still going to figure out, and I'm not saying it's going to get figured out in a year, but as this evolution goes on, is there kind of a home course and a home training facility and things of that nature? Greg has referenced it a little bit in the past, but we're gonna figure that out, you know, as we go.
Troy, you talked about Adelaide. You know, as far as that setup on the par three, you guys created a very incredible stadium venue there in Adelaide. From a hospitality and ticketing perspective, take Golf Club of Houston, for example. How does the tour determine where that stadium's going to be on the golf course?
Yeah, so we do a lot of analysis behind the scenes as we lead up to different golf courses and markets to just understand, you know, what the market can kind of bear, where we think the interest lies, so on and so forth. But really, we also have to look at the course itself. There's such a variety of aspects into understanding, you know, if you're going to build all the structures, like truly the real estate and the ground that's around there. And then there's a lot of what we call BOH, which is back of house, and that's where the catering is, and that's where restrooms are. So not to get into the details, but there's actually a lot that goes into just understanding. For example, Nashville in 2 weeks. Right now, Nashville is looking like it's going to be one of, if not our number one, one of our top U.S. events in our short history. We are doing a party hole there. It's going to be on the 15th. It is a par three. There's water kind of surrounding it, but it's going to have that similar kind of party vibe, and we're, you know, I call it almost like wrapping the hole. We're wrapping the hole a bit similar to Adelaide. Adelaide's on a different level, but a bit similar to that. So there's a lot of different, you know, aspects that go into it.
Well, the whole personality of the game is changing, and you're putting fun into the game. You're putting laughter. I can't wait to see the prize giving. I think that's an exciting time where the people that are used to college football, college basketball, they like that excitement. They like that, you know, the famous par three in Phoenix. So, but the one thing that early on, when you all announced, I compared it to like the NFL. They had other people come out and try to get into their own business, but they end up merging. Can you see yourself merging with the PGA Tour, having the team format plus the individual format and the type of hospitality you're looking for?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I would say it's, you know, I get that question a lot out there as you just talk to folks, because there's so much that's out in the media, and unfortunately 90% of what's out there is all subjective, and you know, folks just, you know, trying to make a guess on what this is all going to look like. And to be honest with me, it's way beyond my pay grade on those, what those conversations are. And I think a lot of folks need to understand that the conversations are, you know, with the tour, really with, you know, the public investment fund, PIF, our ownership, not so much with LIV Golf, it's with PIF. And so, you know, that's all I can really say. It's, you know, it's at that level. I'm sure conversations are being had, and where it ends up, who knows. But the one thing I'm confident with is LIV Golf is, you know, we're here to stay, and we've gotten that direction that we're fast forward, moving forward. And just think about, you know, these players that we're signing. You know, a lot of times we're signing them for long-term deals, and that's not going to happen unless, you know, we're very focused on the long-term future.
Committed to the product.
Exactly.
That's right. And this is the world is so small. I mean, it's incredible. Everything, everybody knows what's going on within the internet. I mean, the way to pass the word on, and the pictures and everything that's going on at the facility here, and you got the advantage that this property, Golf Club of Houston, hosted a PGA Tour event, and you got a 6,000 car parking lot out there. You got plenty of room for your media. I mean, this is a stadium, and will you come back in the future? How does that work?
Yeah, I think you bring a really good point, is that to be able to come to a course that's hosted in the past, because there are a lot of those logistics of just the flow of fans and the parking and the capacities that we can hold. You know, tonight we'll have, right after plays, you know, we have a concert, and to be able to Macklemore is performing, you know, how many awards has he won, and the feedback we've gotten, folks are really excited for his performance, and to be able to have all the structures that we need here internally to host something like that. I mean, you're going to have thousands and thousands of folks watching golf and then shifting right over to a major concert. And they're not just playing one or two songs. It is a legit 90-minute show, right? So, but yes, the fact that they've hosted major professional golf in the past certainly checks a big box for us. We are, you know, I mentioned earlier, we're a global sport, and we do want to share the kind of LIV Golf love with the world. So I think you're going to see us. There'll be some courses that we'll do maybe 2 or 3 year deals with, and we'll stay there for a couple of years. But we'll always make sure we're rotating around as well, just to share the love. This is, I mean, it's crazy to say. I know we've only been around for a couple of years, but for Texas, this is our first time in Texas, which is crazy. And the history in Texas and how big it is, and the amazing golf courses. Now we are going to finish up
Merido
at Merido in Dallas.
Pure golf course. Yeah. Well done, Troy. Yeah. Well done.
We're excited about it. They've invested a lot into that course, and they're continuing to do so to get it ready for the big boys to come out in September. But let's just say, I'll say that Texas is a very important market for us, whether it's Houston or Dallas or somewhere else. But we are working on the 25 schedule, so yet to be seen.
Troy, one last question for you before we let you go. You know, you have an incredible resume. Yankees, Cleveland Cavaliers, you've been all over sports. What has been different about this? What have you enjoyed about this in comparison to working in leagues like the MLB and NBA?
Yeah, so I think what's attractive about LIV Golf is we're a startup. Now, we're starting to get a little bit out of the startup mode, but to be able to come in, and this is what was very intriguing to me, to take this opportunity. When do you have the opportunity to create a professional sports league?
Yeah.
That's not once in a lifetime. I mean, that's once in a century. And to do it with A-list, right? We know there's other sports leagues that have started over the past few years, but sometimes, let's be honest, like, you know, they're taking maybe a little bit lesser caliber. They're not taking your A-list athletes. But to take A-list athletes, create a sports league, be disruptive, like, there's a lot of risk with that, but there's fantastic rewards that come along with it. And I think that's the really unique thing about it. And, you know, in my past, I worked in professional golf before, and a lot of what we're doing, honestly, were some of the thoughts I had back then. And that's why, as soon as I heard about it, I'm like, this makes sense. Like, you know, perfect examples, you'd walk around, sometimes there's people that walk behind a golfer, and they're like, who is that? They don't even know who that golfer is, right? Every other sport, there's a name on the back of the jersey, and you start relating. So I think those are the type of things you can start seeing. Our guys, once they get through some of their long-standing, you know, kind of sponsorship deals, and they're all wearing the same kits and the same uniform, and you really can start understanding and attaching yourself to the teams and the league itself.
That is Troy Tutt here of Live Golf Hospitality and Ticketing. Troy, we appreciate your time. Unfortunately, we have to go to break, but you've done an excellent job, and I know Charlie and I appreciate you being here with us this morning.
And we've got to send out the website so people can see smiles on a golfer. That doesn't happen that often.
Oh, they're smiling big time. LiveGolf.com. Please come join us. Please come smile with us. Come watch some golf. Watch some music later on tonight. We still got some tickets available for today and tomorrow. Love to see you.
Thank you very much, Troy.
Thanks for having me.
Congratulations.
That's Troy Tutt, SVP of Hospitality and Ticketing for Live Golf. Please go to LiveGolf.com. Get your tickets. Come out here today and join us. Martin Keimer, the two-time major champion, leads the way at 7-under. He's just a week away from going back to Pinehurst, where he won the 2014 U.S. Open by 8 shots. And then on the team side of things, you've got Cleek's Golf Club at the top, led by Martin Keimer. And then my favorite, Torque AGC, in second, 3 shots behind. This is Charlie Epps Golf Hour here from Live Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Three fingers in the honeycomb. You ring just like the xylophone. Devoted to the chromosome.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us. Segment 2 here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. In case you missed the last segment, you can find that on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We had a great conversation with Troy Tutt, who is with Hospitality and Ticketing with Live Golf. Gave us some insight, some behind-the-scenes stuff on what's going on here with Live. It's week 8 of the Live Golf season. Obviously, there's been a lot made of the ongoing civil war between the PGA Tour and Live Golf. You know, what we're going to get, we got a feel from Troy on that. He couldn't say much, you know, SVP, Hospitality, and Ticketing. He can't comment on much between the deal. We are going to have Arlo White here at 8:45. He is the Live play-by-play commentator. He might be able to give us a little bit more of an insight onto what's going on between that deal between the PGA Tour and Live Golf. Martin Keimer leads the way out here at Live Houston. Listen, it is hot. I can't lie to you. It is 107 degrees, and you know, it's very hot, very tough for these players to get through these conditions. But Golf Club of Houston is a championship venue. You know, they held a pro golf tournament at Golf Club of Houston for many years in the Shell Houston Open. So with 1 week to go until a major, Charlie, you know, this is a good place for these Live golfers to be.
Well, it's a golf course that was made for professional golf. Trent Jones came in here and designed a golf course that's good for the public. You know, we had 50,000 a day out here during the Shell Houston Open many years ago. So they picked the right spot. It's a great viewing golf course. There's mounds that are on the rough side, and you can get a good look. Got a beautiful range. They can get up close with all the players, and so this is a great week.
Charlie, you were up at the PGA Tour Champions event this week with Angel Cabrera in Wisconsin. How was that?
It was good. Wisconsin is a great sports state, you know, for winter sports and summer sports, and they've had the Ryder Cup up there on the lake at Whistling Straits. They've got Steve Stricker, who is the leading golfer in Wisconsin, and the people come out, all the volunteers. It was a great atmosphere. It was very enjoyable. Ankel is working his way back to the game, and everybody was very, very welcoming to Ankel coming up and shaking his hand and patting him on the back, and they understand, you know, what he's been through, and Ankel is 100% golf, and I think he's going to have a great career going forward.
Charlie, he is in great shape. I mean, the photos that we saw from Wisconsin, Ankel, I mean, he has really dedicated his focus to his craft. He's slimmed down, and he looks like he's in great playing competition. He's going to play this week in Wisconsin, and then he's entered into the following tournament at the Dick's. But he's got to be really excited about his physical regimen.
Yeah, he is an alternate in Dick's.
At Dick's, so okay.
I think he's going to go to Europe and play in the match play over there. So he just needs to, as Tiger Woods always said, you got to have reps.
Yeah.
And competitive reps. And,
okay.
He's had a 2.5-year layoff from golf, and now he's back and strong as ever.
We'll monitor the latest on Ankel Cabrera here with Charlie Epps. Ankel, you know, two-time major champion, 2007 U.S. Open winner, 2009 Masters champion, you know, almost won the Masters again in 2014 and then in that playoff against Adam Scott. We'll keep you up to date. You know, Ankel, 54. Phil Mickelson won the PGA a few years ago at 50. Richard Bland, who's out here with the team Cleeks alongside Martin Keimer. Richard Bland has had, you know, two of the best years of his career at 50 and 51. He won a few times with the DP World Tour, earned a spot on a LIV Golf roster, and then won the senior PGA last week. That's right, Richard Bland, a LIV golfer, won the senior PGA last week. You know, Martin Keimer plays alongside Richard Bland. I thought he gave some great insight on how Richard Bland has embraced the strengths of his game, even at his, you know, even in his mid-50s. Listening to Keimer here on Richard Bland.
He knows he's not as long as most guys out here, so I think his priority was hitting as many fairways as possible and spending a lot of time within 120, 130 yards in. Because he knows, you know, I need to be a little bit better than average out here in order to compete every single week. And I think the way he did it over the last, I would say, 3-4 years, he did really well. You know, if you see the stats, he's one of the best drivers out here. He hits a lot of fairways. And in terms of scrambling and with wedges, he takes his proximity to the hole. I think he's top 10 out here as well. So he's focusing on the things that he needs to do. He knows he doesn't hit a 300 yards carry or 330. He knows that. So he's very realistic, and this is something, you know, you need to do. You need to know where your strengths are, and you also need to know what kind of weaknesses do I have, and can I fix those weaknesses? If you want to say the length is a weakness, you know, you can't fix that. He is over 50. You know, that's what it is. So I think he focused on the right things.
Charlie, what can the listener at home pick up from what Keimer said about Bland? You know, Bland cannot hit it, you know, 330 yards, but he's focusing on that 120 to 130 scoring number. What can the listener at home pick up from that?
Well, that golf is a game of patience, and it's really not a game of distance for the average golfer. The average golfer is not going to hit it 350, and they're not going to hit it at 2 irons high in the air. So they've got to be smart, play smart golf. That's what Richard Bland is doing. He's realizing his potential, but he's staying within his reality. And most people, we all try to hit shots that we've never practiced. Don't hit a shot on a golf course that you didn't practice before you went out. Those are, Chichi Rodriguez would say he would get the four par threes distance, and then before he went out, he would have that distance, and he had practiced. He'd hit 12 shots with a 5-iron to hole number 3, pretending. So when he got there, he could see the shot he wanted, and he played the par threes a lot better once he started that philosophy. Practice the par threes before you go out in your mind and hit the shot, hit the iron that's needed to hit the ball on the green.
Charlie, U.S. Open next week. When you were getting ready for the six majors that you played in, would you look at the course ahead of time, plot out the shots that you're going to need to hit, and practice those?
No, I wasn't that. I would play nine holes from the back tees with irons.
Wow.
And so I would use clubs that I wasn't used to using at Houston Country Club. And instead of hitting a 7-iron in the green, I'd be hitting a 4-iron in the green. So usually the major championships are the holes, the courses are a lot longer. But then also you've got to have that 80, 90-yard shot that if you hit it in the rough, you've got to be able to get at least to 100 yards so that you have a chance for a par after, you know, having to chip out from a ridiculously lie, which is 8-inch rough.
Yeah. It's a great lesson there from the golf doctor. Charlie, people coming out here this week, livegolf.com is where they can get their tickets. Martin Keimer is leading the way.
Yes.
You know, what a great champion. Spent some time at world number one, won two majors. And you know, the last major he won was at Pinehurst, which we're going back to next week. What do you like about his game? And at 39 years old, you know, it's been 10 years since his last win. What do you like, you know, as far as his, you know, over the years? Let me rephrase this question, Charlie. Over the years, you see golfers come and go. World number ones get to the top. Scottie Scheffler has been more consistent than most, but you've seen players like Jason Day, Justin Rose, get to the top and have trouble staying there. Can Martin Keimer make a return to the top of the game at some point?
I can't say no, but I'm not sure he's motivated to do that. He likes this environment. He's a member of a team. He's a member with his fellow European golfers and travel together, and he'll start liking the game. If you remember the PGA Tour, you don't have that camaraderie. That's one reason why the Europeans have won so many Ryder Cups over the last few years, is because all their team atmosphere helps them during the Ryder Cup. And so it's a game. Golf is a funny game, and I think the Live people have come on to a product that's going to be very popular. We've seen that collegiate golf team effect is really getting good, especially for the ladies, and I wouldn't be surprised if they don't bring a ladies tour involved in this pretty soon, because that is the next market.
And the Franklin Templeton, which is the only mixed event on the PGA Tour, yeah, there at Tiburon in Naples, that was Greg Norman's idea.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? The Shark Shootout. That's what it was originally called. So we'll see if that makes its way to Live Golf. And on the other side, we're going to hear some quotes from Patrick Reed, his thoughts on Golf Club of Houston. He's the hometown guy this week. We'll get a little bit of sound from Patrick Reed. And then stick around, because at 8:45, we're going to have Arlo White on the show. He is the Live Golf play-by-play commentator. He signed with Live. Before that, he was the Premier League soccer commentator for NBC Sports. Arlo White, great voice, one I've looked up to my whole career, so it's going to be good to get him in here, get a feel of Live Golf. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here from Golf Club of Houston. Join us, livegolf.com, where you can get your tickets. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
LiveGolf.com is where you can get your tickets to join us this weekend here at Golf Club of Houston. Come join the Golf Doctor. Come see Charlie. Charlie, before we get rolling, how about a couple words from your friends at Insperity?
Well, Insperity is a company that is established in 1986 to help small business. So if small businesses are listening today and you want to grow your business, give Insperity a call. They're a perfect HR company, but they also have other divisions that can help you analyze your product and how to grow your business. And they know how to grow because since 1986, they've gone from zero to $7 billion. That's a B, billion. Because they got clients all over the United States that are very happy with their product. And their product is based on treating people correctly. I mean, Paul Sarvati and his team of professionals, they know how to treat their 4,000 employees, but more importantly, all of their clients. And they will make sure that they find a way for you to be more successful in your business. So Insperity, give them a call, log on to Insperity.com, and it's a company that is really on the move, and they'll help your company grow also.
We continue here on ESPN 97.5 Houston, getting you up to date on the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Listen, come out here to Golf Club of Houston. You can see John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka. You got Macklemore performing tonight. Great show ahead here on day two of LIV Golf here in week eight of their season. LIV Golf prepping for the U.S. Open here at Golf Club of Houston, and the PGA Tour prepping for the U.S. Open there at Memorial. Charlie, I had one more question for you as we put a bow on the Angel Cabrera conversation. You just got back from Wisconsin. You know, we saw Phil have success in his 50s, get an offer from LIV. We saw Richard Bland, who we talked about last segment, have success in his 50s, get an offer from LIV. We just heard from Troy Tudd about how they like the global aspect of golf. Angel is the Babe Ruth in Argentina. You know, is there any chance that we see him on LIV Golf Tour in the future?
That's a good question, and he's the Babe Ruth of South America. He's the first professional in South America to win a major, to win the Masters. So, yes, he is very well known all throughout that world. But what, I don't know what, now that Richard Bland's involved in it, maybe they're going to include older gentlemen, if you might say. And he's the type of guy that has a body that he's going to play well into his 60s, just like Bernard Long.
I heard from Boo Weekly and Darren Clark, they got offers from LIV Golf, so maybe something to keep on your radar there, Charlie.
I think a great story about Boo Weekly, and he's ingenuous. I mean, he is really a funny man. Last week in the city where he played the tour event, he went to rent a car to drive to Wisconsin. It had no rent cars available. So what did he do? He went to U-Haul. He went and rented a truck.
Him and his wife, right? Yeah. the PGA Tour champions got some wonderful content of Boo making his journey to Wisconsin, just listening to country music. You know, he gets there. Boo says, "Ah, forget the practice round. I'll go fishing."
Yes,
you know,
sir.
That's how he warms up for tournaments. And Boo only a shot back up there in Wisconsin. Started with a 3-under round, so we'll keep you updated as far as the Champion Tour is concerned. Charlie, we have a question from Chris in League City. Hey, Charlie, when are golfers going to be able to clean their golf balls in the fairways? I saw Scheffler having issues at Muirfield, and I have the same problem at home. Seems stupid to be penalizing for hitting the ball in the middle of the fairway, wouldn't you say?
No, that's stupid. Golf is a game you play the ball as it lies and move on forward. And if it has a little mud on it, so what?
Yeah.
You know, that is the game itself. Everybody's playing these winter lies and teeing it up. Well, that's croquet. You know, in golf, leave the ball alone. And if you have mud on the left side of the ball, when you hit it, it's going to go to the right. So, you know, don't, you know, you got to hit it out of the divot. You got to hit it out with mud on the ball.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, Victor Hovland, he was asked about it after his round yesterday, and he says when the fairway is a little wet, he actually hits his driver a little more of a knuckling lower ball flight so that first hop picks up the mud and then it rolls off of it. I mean, have you ever heard of that kind of science in this game?
Sure. There's so many ideas on how to, you know, go over that rule.
Yeah.
because of the ball being unplayable, but it's not. So you can skip the ball on the fairways, but the other thing that they do is if the golf course is too wet, they will have a local rule: live clean in place. So that's always in. You can mark the ball, clean it, and put it back. In certain situations when the golf course is too muddy, an occasional mud, that's rubber the green.
Yeah, you have to play through that. It's the game of golf. It's the game of life.
That's it.
Charlie, we're here at Golf Club of Houston. Patrick Reed is kind of the hometown host this week. He's the one player in the field here from Houston, resides there in the Woodlands. Patrick Reed spoke a little bit about the Golf Club of Houston. You know, he had been here for many years for the Shell Houston Open. Here was his take on how the course looks a little bit different this time of year.
I think the biggest thing is it's going to be completely different, because normally when we go out and play, it's the week before Augusta, so they kind of shave everything, and it doesn't play like its normal self because the rough's down. And you know, this time of year, you're going to have that dry Bermuda. They're going to have normal rough. So I feel like, you know, this year it's going to play different, but at the same time, it's going to play how it's supposed to play. And, you know, that being said, you got to hit straight, got to shape the golf ball, and you're going to use every club in your bag. And I think that's what makes that golf course great, is you have to use every club.
Well, you know, he won the Masters. He was an incredible, you know, guy that came out on tour and qualified on Mondays, and he made it. And
Charlie, his camaraderie, you know, the energy we've seen him bring to Ryder Cups, competitive nature, that seems to be what they're looking for out here. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be a real strong asset to LIV Golf if he starts playing well again, like we saw him in 2018 at Augusta.
Just like, you know,
17, my apologies.
All of the great ones, the Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Koepka, and all the major winners, that brings attention to their product. They got the stars. Now they got to get the word out that this is a for real event. I mean, and the city of Houston is going to find that out today, tomorrow, and then tonight with this concert.
Yeah.
So they're here to stay.
Yeah, livegolf.com is where you can get your tickets. Second round kicks off at 12:35 today. Final round is tomorrow. Charlie, one more question before we go to break from a listener, and then stick around, because in the next segment we're going to get Arlo White here, LIV Golf's play-by-play commentator, great inside source. Charlie, here's the question from Freddie in Beaumont. Hey, Charlie, I hear these golfers being asked about the Olympics. Does golf matter to the Olympic Games? Don't golfers already have their major championships?
No. The Olympics is worldwide. It's a unique. Every 4 years brings all the great athletes together, whether it be track and field, whether it be rowing. So golf was very successful in Brazil when they had it, or went to Japan and they had it. So it's part of the Olympics now, and there's all of the players. You know, there's a couple that don't want a gold medal, but you know, who doesn't want to play for a gold medal in the Olympics for their country? So I think it's here to stay, and I watch it, and I hope it continues.
It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. Anytime you get to represent your country on a national spectrum like the Olympics is just unbelievable. I was watching Miracle last night about the 1980 USA hockey team led by the great Herb Brooks. They took down the Soviets. Great movie. Wish I was there for that. And especially after we saw the last Ryder Cup with Patrick Cantlay throwing up his arms about not getting paid. The Olympics is about amateurism. It's not about doing it for the money. It's about doing it for your country. And I think after talking with Joaquin Niemann and Mito Pereira, Carlos Ortiz, I feel some of these international guys take the Olympics and international competition much more seriously than guys here in the States.
Well look at the Dream Team, the NBA. You know, the great players, Michael Jordan and them went to Brazil, to Spain and Barcelona, and they were very proud of winning the gold medal in basketball.
That was a better generation, Charlie. A better generation. Next up is Arlo White, play-by-play commentator for LIV Golf. Excited to have him on the show. Stick around. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
ESPN. 97.5.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
We're live from Golf Club of Houston, where LIV Golf is playing its eighth tournament of the season. LIV Golf's play-by-play commentator, Arlo White, is here with us. Arlo, we're so lucky to have you here. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Oh, well, it's absolutely my pleasure. Charlie, great to meet you as well. What a gorgeous morning.
Oh, I mean, just perfect. Listen, golfers love the humidity, Arlo. I thought Jerry Fultz said some great things on the broadcast yesterday. You know, I would take hot weather over cold weather at a golf tournament any day of the week.
I think every player would, wouldn't they, in this situation? And I can add broadcasters to that as well. It is absolutely gorgeous. But Jerry and I do have a little bit of fun on the broadcast, because if David Fairty likes the booth a little on the chilly side, Jerry is a hot weather guy. At home, his house is set to something like 85 degrees.
Oh.
So we have to travel a blanket that Jerry just wraps himself in after about the first hour of every broadcast. I mean, it's quite pathetic, actually, Charlie.
It's chilly in here this morning, and you don't have a coat on. I'm freezing.
Well, I'm a Brit, you see, so this is perfectly normal for me.
Arlo, how was day one? How have you enjoyed Houston thus far?
Well, Houston, I mean, I've been here a few times during my soccer announcing career. I caught the first ever Houston Dynamo goal at the new stadium a few years ago, which was Brad Davis into the top corner with that sweet left foot of his. But it's a brilliant sporting city to come to. And day one, I thought, was spectacular. You know, it's great for us to be able to showcase not only the household names that we have in the LIV Golf League, you know, 54 players, but we do have very promising young players coming through, which I don't think gets enough credit. But you look at someone like Caleb Surratt, who was magnificent yesterday, 7 under par, shares the lead with Moronk and with Marty Keimer. And you've got people like David Puge, only 22 years old, who's playing extremely well as well. He's qualified for the US Open next week.
Yeah.
So to be able to showcase the young guys and to see them in and amongst, you know, the top of the pylon, as we call it, is fantastic for us. So it's going to be fascinating to see how Caleb deals with the pressure of leading the way at 20 years of age, only just having turned professional, but he's going to be under the spotlight today.
Now, as a commentator, you've got two things to broadcast. You've got individual play and the team aspect. I don't think the American public yet has grasped the team and the success that's going to be. How do you get that word out?
Well, that's a really interesting question, Charlie, because that is the point of difference, really, for LIV Golf. And the combination of individual play, which you know, carries with it a major purse at the end of Championship Sunday, but then you've got this added element of the team competition. And you know, on the first 2 days, you've got 13 teams of four. Three scores count on the first 2 days, and then it's open season on Championship Sunday. And I tell you, Jerry, David, myself, we need a long lie down in a dark room after that, because the permutations and the volatility of the leaderboard in the team competition is extraordinary. You know, we had a situation down in Australia where Ripper GC, the Aussies, Cam Smith's team, they led by something like 6 shots with 3 holes to play against the Stinger, the South Africans. Stinger come roaring back, and it ends up going to the first ever team playoff. Now, Cam Smith said, and I take him at his word, he never felt more pressure, including winning at St. Andrews in the Open Championship, the 150th Open Championship. He never felt more pressure than teeing off on home turf in Adelaide in the team playoff against Stinger GC. And you know, the Aussies went absolutely crazy, and it was a perfect way for us, I think, to showcase the fact that Brendan Steele won that tournament and he was terrific, but also you have this added element of the team.
Well, the other thing is, one of the most popular events in the history of golf is the Ryder Cup.
Absolutely.
And then now the President's Cup. So the competition, the players like it. It's good for the public. We just got to get that word out. The word aggregate, I love that name. On Sunday, all scores count.
Yes.
And if somebody makes a big triple bogey, cost you
absolutely
your players a bunch of money.
And the thing is, Charlie, you know, you could be an individual player who is 3 over par going into the final round, And in terms of the individual competition, you're done. I mean, look, you're always fighting for points and prize money the further up the pylon you can finish. But your team need you, and they need you focused, and they need your best on Sunday, because that could be the crucial aspect of either winning, coming second, third, fourth. And at the end of the season, the top three teams out of the 13, they get a bye through to the semi-finals of the team championship, and the other teams, the other 10 teams, have to battle it out in the quarterfinals. So there's just so many different aspects to keep across, to keep sports fans who are, maybe a lot of sports fans are into teams, obviously, and that's the element that I think is going really well for us.
Well, one of the things that the public has to identify with is the word franchise.
Yeah.
Each team has its own franchise, and that's going to be for sale. And the richer part of the golfing community, they can buy their own franchise and be able to participate that at a completely different level than they've ever had. So I think that's a good investment for Liv.
And the players have equity in those franchises, which is part of, you know, the deal to come across to Live Golf and the Live Golf League. So Phil has a part ownership stake in the
Can
High
Phil
Flyers.
Can Phil bet on his own team?
Hey, now, Charlie.
but he does own his highlights. Phil now owns his highlights. Is that and as do all the franchises?
That's right. Okay. That's right. And and the value of these franchises, you know, people say, why should I care about the High Flyers? Why should I care about the Four Races? But it's like any new concept. It takes a while for a team, in this case the Four Races or the Majestics, who are Ian Poulter and Lee Westwood and Henrik Stenson, to form an identity. You know, they are from different parts of the world, so the Aussies can get behind Ripper GC, the South Africans behind Stinger, the Ironheads are broadly an Asian based team.
Torquay, South America,
which is a huge market potentially. Yeah. The Crushers under Bryson DeChambeau, they're from all over the place. But Anirban Lahiri is promoting the game in India. And that's part of, I think, Greg's vision and Liv Golf's vision as well, is to spread the sport around the world and have different rooting interests in different parts of the globe, which is fantastic.
With the internet today, access to information is incredible. Now, I mean, this show here, I've got friends in Uruguay and Buenos Aires. They listen to the show. Very simple, on their computer. And now you can do that with this product that you all have.
Do you think they'd understand my accent, Charlie? Yeah,
well, you do pretty good. talk a little quickly, but that's all right.
You've got CW, CW Plus, Live Golf Plus, Live Browser. So many ways to watch. We talked about the teams. What about some of these wild cards, Arlo? You know, Anthony Kim is a name that a lot of Houston fans are very familiar with. Not only did he win the Houston Open, but Charlie, when you were the head pro out here, he won the college tournament out here.
Had an All-American championship here with 20 universities, and Anthony Kim won the tournament by 6 shots.
What was he like back then, Charlie?
He was so good. I mean, his ball striking was incredible. I mean, he was fearless. He reminded me of Cabrera. He was that type of player. He went for it all the time. So he was very entertaining, just like he did when he was involved with the Ryder Cup. So if he gets his game here, he's going to be another player that would be fun to watch.
And I think it's a great story. It is a potential redemption story. This fellow was away from the game for, 10 or 12 years?
12 years.
And barely picked up a club in that time. I mean, just when you think about the advances in technology in the game of golf in those times, he didn't own a set of clubs.
Yes.
So he's had to get used to the new
and the
technology
golf ball, yes,
and the golf ball and everything like that. And the good thing about it is he is absolutely 100% dialed in. He's grinding in between events as well. He travels his beautiful wife and daughter, who have changed his life and his outlook on everything. You know, he's had a couple of rounds. He had a 65 in Hong Kong, I think a 69 in the opening round in Singapore. He was only one over par yesterday, so he's trending in the right way. And if he can get going and get some points, the top 24 players are guaranteed a spot in Live Golf, in the Live Golf League for 2025. And you wouldn't rule out a player like Anthony Kim to make a late charge towards him. What a great story that would be.
Everybody that gets away from the game always wants to get back in. My good friend in Confident, Ancho Cabrera, he ran into some problems in life, and he represents that, and now he's back into it. So is Anthony Kim. So it's good stories.
Arlo, we have time for one more question. You made a celebrity appearance on the great Ted Lasso show. What was that like working with Jason Sudeikis?
Oh, my goodness, what a genius. A funny man. Very hard to keep a straight face when you're trying to act around him. But a very kind and generous soul. So Ted Lasso as a character is just an extension of Jason Sudeikis as a man. It was an extraordinary experience. I was the lead commentator for NBC's coverage of the Premier League for 9 seasons. So I was just the right man in the right place at the right time. And I was in all 3 seasons just playing myself, which wasn't a stretch. I mean, asking to do any acting, I wouldn't have a clue. But what a great experience and something I'll treasure for the rest of my life.
Arlo White, have a great rest of the week in Houston. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Arlo White, Live Golf's play-by-play commentator, one of the best to ever do it. Charlie, I've enjoyed your time today. We'll see you next week.
Yes, sir, and we'll always talk about Live. I'm impressed.
LiveGolf.com is where you can get your tickets to Golf Club of Houston this weekend. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. See you next weekend.
ESPN 97.5.